This evening, let's have praise and worship together.
Bye.
You brought me out.
There is power in covenant. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are showing you a live shot from Jerusalem, from the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, the wall where many times we've taken your prayer requests and we've stuck it into holes inside that place. And it's late at night, but it's always active. If it were at a time that travel was quite open, there'll be a lot more people in there because, you know, tourists, when they go to Jerusalem, they want to go to that wall. But, you know, tonight, in a real sense, the Word of God says that we are blessed when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? So tonight, I want you to rise with me for a moment, and I want you to stretch your hands towards that screen, whichever area. I am perfectly positioned because I'm facing east, and let's just pray for the peace of Jerusalem this evening. Amen. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord, O God, for everyone that seeks its prosperity. Lord, O God, touch your people. Touch your people. Keep them. Lord, O God, for we know that the days are evil. But Lord, O God, you are a glorious, gracious, merciful God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can declare that this is the day the Lord God Almighty has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed be the holy name of the Most High. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, I want to say Shana Tova Tika Tevu. That means Happy New Year, but a sweet, blessed, and prosperous year. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Well, during this time, when we come together at this New Year time in September or October, depending on when Rosh Hashanah is, there is always a prophetic declaration of where we are in God's timing and what God is going to be unveiling for us, so that we, as we are traveling and going through that journey, we pay attention to what God is doing. And when the enemy tries to contradict that, we know what we're supposed to enforce that year, because this is what the Lord is saying that he's going to do in our lives. And so anything contrary to that, we reject, we refuse it. Amen? Last year, we talked about the establishment of the covenant of God. The covenant of God was our main theme. God spoke to us that he's going to establish his covenant with his people. And part of that covenant was our safety. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to thank God. I didn't hear of anybody in this household of faith or in the household of faith that God has graced us to participate or have oversight of that has suffered from this deadly virus. Nobody. Hallelujah. We had people working with people that were dying, and it didn't come nigh them. God kept his covenant promise. Hallelujah. God is good. God told us he was going to give us an open door in the midst of a shut door, and he did exactly that. The doors that were open to us and ministry that went forth through these years without us being there physically, but God was still saving souls, lives were still being transformed, minds still renewed. God showed himself strong on our behalf. Amen? And praise the Lord, he's kept us alive and whole and strengthened us and empowered us. And sometime around March or so, the Lord started to whisper into my ear, excuse me, that these words, partnering with God. And it made a whole lot of sense to me. If he's brought us to be people of covenant, then he has brought us to a place where we are not unequally yoked. Hallelujah. Praise God. And one, I think the last conference we had, our main speaker, Bishop Charles Oluwajoba, talked about sonship. Remember that? We're sons. Hallelujah. And what, you know, every one of our speakers have spoken directly based on what God has placed in their spirit. They ask me all the time, what do you want me to speak about? I say, I'm not going to tell you that. You go hear from God and you speak. All I want you to do is speak. What? Go hear from God. Go talk to God. Let him tell you what you should talk about and how powerfully he presented that word of sonship. It's not that we don't know about sonship. It's that we need to reawaken into our awareness the realities that God wants us to be aware of so that we are perfectly aligned with his will. Amen? And so God deals with his sons. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And tonight, I want to start from where we ended last night. While we talked about this union and this relationship with God, at the end we started talking about the powerful key of humility. We need to be humble. Why is that necessary? Why is that important? Because God is going to do amazing things with us, and he doesn't want us to get sidetracked by thinking we did it. Amen? You didn't do it. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, with all the amazing miracles that he did, said he didn't do any. It's the Father. Hallelujah. And it's the Father who's made covenant with us through his Son, the shed blood of his Son. And I don't know about you, but I am excited about the days that we are in. It is so easy for us to look at the natural and be perturbed and be confused. But in the midst of this darkness, the light of God is going to shine brightly. He said, I am the light of the world. You know what that means? It doesn't matter how deep and dark the world is, I am light. I'm not part of the world that is dark. Glory be to God. I am light. And what does he say about us? He says, you are the light of the world. And if there's been a time that we are going to shine brightly, child of God, it is now. Amen? I don't know all that the world is going to go through, but I know the world is going to go through a lot of stuff. He says in the book of Isaiah, he says, gross darkness shall fill the earth. He says, but arise, shine. 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 For the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me, upon you, upon us. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We are going to rise. My horn has he lifted up, like the horn of the unicorn. And he's poured upon my life fresh oil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The powers of darkness will be doing their thing, but we are doing our thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is not reacting to what the enemy is doing, but we respond because we know that we know that we know the moves of the enemy before the enemy made his move. Praise the Lord. And God, who knows all things and sees all things, reads the table perfectly. He knows exactly what's going on. Even before the participants came to the table, he already saw the beginning of the game, saw the middle, saw the end, saw how it's all going to wrap up. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This thing is one-sided. Hallelujah. Because either way we win. Hallelujah. This coin has heads on both sides. Woo! Jesus is Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But God says to us that we need to be humble. In 1 Peter chapter 5, let me refresh our thoughts concerning this and we're going to move on. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. It says here in the Word of God, 1 Peter 5, and verse 5. This is what it says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. This is an act of order. Young people, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know why that is? Because young people think they are smarter than their elders. Old man, sit down. You don't know what is happening. You're not current with the issues. But no matter, you see, life is consistent and constant. There's nothing really new on the earth. Huh? You know, the older you get, the more you come to understand that your parents were wise. Hallelujah. But when you're young and you know, your hormones are running wild, you think you got it. I know exactly what needs to be done. There is something about youth that is good. Of course, the Word of God says our youth is renewed like the eagle. So there's something good about being youthful. You know, you're not all wrinkled up and, aching everywhere. When you were young, you know, something had to have hit you for you to start aching. But when you're old, you just walk in and all of a sudden things start falling apart. And you start saying, what happened? Did you fall? No. But why? How come you're aching? I don't know. I was just walking down the street and all of a sudden. So but God says, respect the elders. They've gone through a journey. Listen. Amen? Listen. Don't get too smart for your breeches. You know, it says, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. That means all you young people, but it also means all you elders too. Because things change. We grow. We learn. Applications are done. If we just live with the ways of the elders, we'll still be riding on, the back of horses. But now we talk about the horsepower, but when we're talking about horsepower, we're talking about the engine of a vehicle. Is that not true? He says, so, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Listen to each other. Glean from each other. And be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Bible says, be clothed with righteousness. We hear it says, be clothed with humility. Because it is humility that causes you to walk in righteousness. It gives you access to life. Amen? And why is that important? That you and I be subject to one another and be clothed with humility? Because God resisted the proud. God will always resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace, more strength, more abilities to the humble. So he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And what happens when we do this? We get to cast all our cares. Hallelujah. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Who does he care for? The humble. Praise the Lord. He cares for the humble. But what do the humble people do? They align themselves in agreement with God. Because when you start arguing against God, you are demonstrating pride. When you and I live in fear, we are living in pride. Hello? When we do not believe the word of God, we are living in pride. Pride is not just being, look at me, I'm so tough. Pride is you and I acting like we're wimps. Because we do not recognize who God is. And we do not align ourselves with the word of God. And instead we live in a life that is traumatized by the influence and the injections of the enemy into our atmosphere, into our sphere of influence. James chapter 4. And verse 6, James 4, 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. God gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Huh. God gives grace to the humble. Are you seeing a theme there? That God gives grace to the humble. So if I want grace, God's amazing grace, I got to be humble. And what does humility mean? It means aligning with God, but humility also means being subject one to the other, serving each other. Hey, look, I'm the boss, you take care of me. It's about, how can I take care of you too? How can I minister to you? Now, this is important. Ask me why it's important. Okay, I'll tell you. Because when you are humble, you are not just asking for God to heal you and God to provide for you. You are asking God to use you to bring healing to somebody else and to bring deliverance to somebody else. You're not just thinking about yourself and your own well-being. You're thinking about the well-being of others. Are you with me? Okay, this is important. Because when we're talking about serving, we're talking about serving other people to the best of our ability. But there are going to be people that don't deserve it. When I say don't deserve it, I mean they are so crude that you don't want anything to do with them. And that's when you need more grace. This person, you know, it's like Saul is trying to kill believers. He's trying to kill all of them. But God says, I want you to minister to Paul. Saul, who is Paul. You need grace for that. Yeah? They said, you know, Paul is here to kill us and is busy wiping out everybody. What do you mean? Go minister to him. God says, I have a plan for his life. And God is going to use you and I to speak into lives of people. Jonah was sent to minister to the people of Nineveh, bring a word to them. And what did he do? Instead of being a partner with God, he headed in the other direction. Remember that? He's running off until he got swallowed by a big fish and then was spat on the island, and then he went all over the place. What should have taken him weeks to do, he did in one day. Because, you know, he's just mouthing it off and going quickly, you know, so that they won't hear everything that he's saying. But but everybody repented. The king repents. The people repent. They even make their animals to repent and fast. Yikes. And the guy's sitting out over them waiting for destruction to take place. But that's not what God did. So what did God do? God grew a tree overnight. Just as fast as you went out there, I'll grow you a tree to shelter you. And he's gotten sheltered, and he's very happy about it. And woke up the next day, the whole thing is dead. And he starts complaining about the heat and says, oh, so you're complaining, man? You're complaining. The tree and your bald head, they're more important than the whole people in those city. I love them. Yeah, but those guys are murderers. They don't deserve this love. And God is saying, it's not up to you to determine who I love, for when you were yet sinners, at your very worst, I loved you. So don't determine who deserves to hear the word. Just preach the word. Amen? Just be my partner. I love people. Therefore, you're my partner. You got to love people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is our calling, to partner with God. in that which is important to God. And what is most important to God is not how many dollars you have in your pocket. That is extra. What is most important to God is your eternal soul and the eternal soul of men everywhere. That we can bring the good news to them and tell them, yes, it's true, you're a sinner. Yes, you deserve hell. Yes, you deserve all the bad things that you are experiencing. But I come here to tell you that God is extending mercy to you, and His grace is sufficient, and He wants to take away from you your sins and the punishment for your sins and give to you eternal life. That's the message God gives to us. The disciples said to the Lord in John 9, "Who sinned? This man or his parents?" And the Lord said, "Forget about that. This is not about the sin of the man," John 9, if you can put it up for me. The disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Hear the statement of the Lord. Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me." I'm a partner with my Father concerning this. It's not about he sinned or didn't sin, but that the works of God may be made manifest in him, I must work the works of God. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And what is the message of the Lord to us? I do not know how much time we do have. I don't. But the Word of God tells us that there are seasons. There's a season when the Lord is going to come back. We don't know the day or the time. And that's not just deeply insightful, because I don't know if at the time that the word was being inscribed that they knew about different time zones. But the fact is, that is such a deep statement. We don't know the hour or the time, because the hour and the time right here is not the same hour and time in Jerusalem. Hello? So God cannot tell you, "I'm coming at 3 a.m. 3 a.m. where? In Australia? And on what day? Because while we are still in this day, in Australia, they're in another day. Hello? So he says, "But you will know the season." And I do believe that God is saying to us, we still have day. And while it is day, we need to be hearing what God is saying and stop pointing fingers this way or that way. Just do the work. Come into alignment with God and do the work of the Lord right now. And stop trying to figure this out or figure that out, because the night is going to come when nobody can work. What is that night? The night is a night of persecution. You complaining about, "Oh, we can't come to church right now"? There's going to be the day that if you try to get inside a church, you are dead meat. There are places in the world today, in China, where they cannot gather like we're gathering right here. But the light of God is still bright, shining bright. How is it that Mao and all of the Chinese missionary just clamp down on the church and try to shut it down, and the church has grown so much more underground? How are you going to tell somebody about Jesus? You don't know You can just go on. I want to tell you something. You know, God loves you, and he wants to save you and forgive you your sins and blah, 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 blah. And you don't know whether that guy's a communist sympathizer and says, ah, you're one of those, huh? So how are people getting saved? Because they are following the leading of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is leading them to speak to this person. It's safe to talk to this person. Live out your life in a way that honors me. And there's something different about you. I see that you're going through this and you are not worried. And somehow something happened and your problem is solved. I have problems too. What can I do? Teach me what you are doing. Do you really want to know? Come with me. And they will share the love of God with them. They will pray with them. And that person gets saved. And they know if I go away from this good thing that I've just found, the government could not solve the problem for me. But the word that this man spoke that brought Jesus to me, brought me to this place of salvation, that they will continue to flourish. And that's exactly what God is doing. And that's exactly what God is going to do in our day and in our time. Amen? But it's not that bad yet. When it's going to get that bad, I will let you know. But what I do know is this. The iron gate is opening up. Amen? Hallelujah. For the iron gate does not open up if you're not approaching the iron gate. Let me say that again. The iron gate does not open up until you are approaching the iron gate. Let me say it a third time. The iron gate does not open up on its own accord without you approaching it. Which means that we are going to have to be bold with the boldness of the Lord because we have directives from the Lord and we move in the direction of that which says to us, you cannot come in. And as we're moving towards it, it's going to back off. The enemy, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, ye everlasting doors. But there is a question, who is this King of Glory? Who are you that is determining that I have to be lifted up? Well, the one who the King of Kings lives in. I'm approaching this. And you're going to move. There's not going to be a fight about this. There's not going to be a struggle about this. There was a struggle when you put me inside a prison. But I've come through the two wards. And last night I said to us that the two wards for us in our day and our time represents the 2 years that we've come through in which we've been shut down, but that we're coming into a sphere of grace where God is going to begin to unravel the wheels of Pharaoh and his military force, and they are going to begin to collapse. This thing is about to implode on the activities of the workers of iniquity. And it's going to give us access to move swiftly and quickly because the time is short. Are you hearing me? The time is what? Short. We don't have forever. We have a sliver of time to do everything that we need to do and do it efficiently, sacrifice everything we can sacrifice to make sure that so many come into the kingdom of God. Before the enemy knows what has happened, we have raided and we've gone away. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what God wants to do in us and with us. And we have his word to that. Let's go through some scriptures real quickly. The Gospel of John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. I'm going to first of all take it from verse 6 through 11. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, because they were asking the Lord Jesus Christ to read the whole chapter, but he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And this is going to be the challenge of our day and our time, because there are going to be so many who are postulating all kinds of philosophies, ideologies, ideas, and religious beliefs. And are going to be asking, what makes your belief system better than mine? But we are going to have to make this point. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is not, please hear what I'm saying to you now. This is not a mixture of religious belief systems. This is not Christianity and Islam mixed together called Chrislam. This is not Buddhism, Shintoism, Hinduism, all mixed up together. That is what the one world religious system is going to be about. But in this sliver of time, we are going to have to declare Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Hallelujah. And let social media and whatever else want to shut us down because we believe that, it's not going to work. Because that is the final statement. And it comes from the mouth of the one who created the whole world. He says, I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father. There are not many ways to God. No, there's one way. There are not many truths to God. No, there is one truth. There are not many lives. There is one life. And it is in Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And the word of God goes on in verse 7. He says, if ye had known me, that's what we need to know. We need to know God. We have in this setting of God, we need to become very aware of who God is. For it is the people that know their God that do exploits. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? What I'm saying is this. There are scriptures that we have quoted for many years and we've understood it. But those same scriptures are about to come alive for a present day situation. Hallelujah. So you're not just going to know about, okay, the Bible said this. You know why he said it. This is why it was said. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father. Also, and from henceforth, this is the language of faith. If you want to see faith in action, it is right there. Is it, and henceforth ye know him and have seen him. You know him and I've seen him. And he's saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And God is saying the same thing. Now you know me. Now you've seen me. Why is that important? Because it is in knowing him and in seeing him that our partnership with God is rooted in knowing him and in seeing him. You're going to see why in just a moment. Verse 8, Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Just show us the Father, and that'll be enough. And Jesus says unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? What? He that had seen me had seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What does that mean? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, means I'm in total alignment with the Father. And so whatever you see happening in my life is what the Father is doing right now. Oh, you don't get it yet. Let's go further. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of my what? Self. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. No, that doesn't make any sense. It should be, because the theme of speech is about speaking. So that last statement should have said, been, the Father that dwelleth in me, he's the one speaking. Because, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he is the one speaking. That will make absolute sense. It lines up with a narrative, but it says, he doeth the works. What works? The works of the miracles that's happening. You mean you didn't do these works? You didn't heal the people? No. I spoke what the Father is speaking because I see the Father. Oh, you still don't get it yet. I'm coming. Because this is the reality. God is going to reveal himself to you, reveal himself to me, and the words that you and I speak are going to be what the Father is saying. And what the Father says is final. That's what happens. Hallelujah. So when we say, see to the blind sees. Not because we prayed. Not because you prayed, but because you spoke what God spoke. The praying is not the public thing. The praying is in secret. So I came to the church and there was no prayer. Don't worry about it. The praying has been done in secret. And God shall make manifest in public. Hallelujah. Is that not what the Lord... Did you ever see the Lord Jesus Christ praying for any sick person? No. That is our baby stage. But we're coming into sonship. And in the realm of sonship, Adam calls something something, and that's what God says as the name too. I agree with you. Elephant, that's an elephant. Yeah. And you and I are coming to that place by the Holy Spirit where what we are saying is what we are hearing. And what we are hearing is coming from the mouth of God. And what we are hearing is seasoned and laden with faith. For faith is the substance, the building block of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen to the natural mind, but to us by the Spirit we see, and we declaring, thy kingdom come, thy will on earth be done as it is in heaven. Amen. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. I am in partnership with the Father, and if you don't believe that, just look at the works. Look at the result. Look at what's happening. I and Father are one. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Wait a minute, come on. You just told us the Father does the works. Now you're telling us the works that I do? And basically what he's saying is this: yes, I'm the one that you see doing it, but really it's him that is doing it. Amen? And exactly what is happening with me right now, you are going to do the same thing. And greater works. Greater works. Someone say greater works. One more time. Greater works than these that you are seeing right now shall he do. Who is the he? Guess what? The he is referencing you and referencing the Father. Why? Because I go unto my Father. In other words, now two of us are going to come and we're going to be telling you. That's why he said, verily, verily. Father says, verily. Son says, verily. We are in agreement. Amen. The power of agreement. This is what we are going to do. Let's go further. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. But this is where we lose it. We think when he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, means that he's going to come and do it. No. He's going to tell us the secret to this, because the secret to this is that he's going to do it in the heavenlies. And we, our purpose and our assignment is to call that which he has done in heaven to be made manifest in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So my question then is this: God, what are you saying about this situation? Don't be offended. Don't be offended when in the days to come you ask for prayer and the person says, okay, thank you for letting me know that you need prayers. I will talk to the Father, hear from him what he's saying about this situation, and I will do exactly what the Father says. But Pastor, I want to lay hands on my head now. No, that is the stage of the baby church. The baby church had to lay hands on the sick so that they recover. But the mature sons of God are going to move in another dimension where they are not laying hands on the sick so that people recover. They speak the word only. Like he did. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is the place of understanding that we are sons. The place of understanding that we are a people of covenant with the Most High God. Are you with me? Let's go a little bit further. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, let's go on. Let's find out more details about what he's talking about. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my words. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Ah, so now we know exactly where the bridge is. The bridge of connection is going to be this one called the comforter, called the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of whom? The truth. It's my spirit. And the Spirit of truth. For I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. He says, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive him. Why? Because it seeth him not. They cannot receive him because they don't see the Spirit. He says, neither knoweth him. They don't know the Spirit. But ye know him. That's the language of faith again. But you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Wow. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Huh? How is he coming to us? By his Spirit. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Physically, they will not see me. But ye shall see me. Why is this scene so important? We're going to get there. Because I live, ye shall live also. I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. I'm not dead, I'm alive. And because I'm alive, you live. Praise the Lord. He says, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's partnering. That's linking together. I and the Father, we've been linked up. Now you are going to get linked up because the Spirit, my Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Father, is also going to be in you. We're going to be linked together. We are not going to be unequally yoked. Amen? We're not unequally yoked. Same Spirit, same power. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In other words, I will show you me. You get to see me. Why is that important? Let's go on. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is that? You're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Have you seen how many times that word has come across? Keep my words, keep my commandments. And he says, and my Father will love him. And my Father will love him. Who? The one that is keeping my words. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not, what? Perish. It did not say shall not. It said should not. And the should not is tied to this particular aspect of you and I loving God and keeping his word. See that? Salvation is available for everybody, but ultimately salvation is linked to those who are going to obey his word. And we will come, we, Father and myself, will come unto him and make what? Our abode with him. We'll abide with you. Why? Because you love. And therefore, all of our power, the power of God is going to be present inside of you physically. So from that point on, your discussion is not going to be a long distance call. It's a local call. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, God, what are you saying? And you begin to speak in your spiritual language. Speak in the language of God. Hallelujah. And putting into motion things that God has established by his Spirit. So we're going to come and we are going to make our abode with him. And 24, he that loveth me not, if you don't love me, you're not going to keep my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine. What you're hearing is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Wow. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. The key to the ministry of the Lord, he said to us, he says, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he seeth. He said, what I see the Father doing, that's what I do. What I see the Father doing, that's what I do. And as we step into this new year, this new season, God is calling us to a place of partnering with him. Just partnering with him. And our partnership with him is first and foremost founded in our obedience to who he is and what his instruction is. Following through with the word of truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 17. The Gospel of John chapter 17. The Lord says, I'll take it up from verse 19. John 17 and verse 19. He makes a comment. He says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ praying for the church, his disciples. He says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I am sanctifying myself, I separate myself so that they can be separated. I disciplined myself for their benefit, not just for myself, but for their benefit. Amen? So when I spend my time praying, it's not just for me, it's for you. When you spend your time praying, it's not just for you, it's for me. Amen? So he separated himself for our benefit. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. 20. Need I pray I for these alone, but for them also we shall believe on me through their word. Hallelujah. That they all may be one. That they all may be what? One. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. See, we're brought into it. They're going to be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This is the issue. Does the world believe that Jesus is uniquely who he is? Every Christmas season, the next few months, they're going to start coming up with all kinds of crazy movies, you know, and documentaries that are just a bunch of hogwash nonsense. Because they have not experienced the power of God. And we are the ones that God is going to use to demonstrate his power. Amen? And his power is going to be demonstrated because we, and first and foremost, believe his word, are obedient to his word. And God says, when you do that, we're going to come and we're going to make our abode with you. And the world is going to know that I was sent for the salvation of the world. Amen? They're going to believe in that name that's above every other name. And verse 22 goes on and says, and the glory, watch this now, and the glory which thou gavest me, the glory that you gave me, I have what? Given them. This is the language of faith. I have given them, and if it has been given to me, what am I supposed to do? Receive it. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. What was this glory of God? The manifestation of God's purpose in the earth. The glory of God started decaying. We had people living up to 900 and something years. And we've decayed to I don't know how many. But God wants us for that glory to be restored. Amen? He says, I've given my glory, the glory you give to me, which is the glory to be creative, the glory to bring sight to the blind, to raise the dead, the glory to command fish to bring coins. Hallelujah. The glory to multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The glory is I've given it to them. Hallelujah. I receive it. Because we're partners with God. Amen? We're in partnership. We're linked together. And remember the word, do not be unequally yoked. A God who said, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, also will not become unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And an unbeliever I shall not be. Amen? I choose to believe God. Hallelujah. You know, the man with his son, you know, when Jesus had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Help me. You know, because this is way too much for my brain to handle. So I need some fixing here. You know, carry me. Lord, carry me. Amen? And that's our cry. Amen? God, carry me. You know, one of my spiritual sons sent me a note the other day and said, you know, he says, I've seen the miracle power of God working in your life. He says, I am deeply pained that my spiritual grandfather is moving in this realm and you are moving in this realm. And he said something that struck my heart. And I'm going to be talking with him. He said, I felt led by the Spirit of God to go talk to a man. And I kept on talking to the man and talking, and he was not responding to me. Then I found out that he was deaf. So the same day, I felt led to talk to a woman and found out that she was deaf. He said, and I could not fix it. He said, I'm deeply pained about this. But the miracle is, are you ready for this? And I share this with you because this is where you and I are going to find ourselves in the days to come. Because it did not work, it's not the problem. The real issue is that you obeyed the instruction when God said, go. And that is the first stage. That is the first stage. I feel led to pray for you. Pray. Nothing happens. Hallelujah. Nothing happens. But I prayed. I spoke the word. I believe the word. Next, speak. Next, speak. Speak to 20 billion. Start again from number one. Pretty soon, you're going to say, see. Ah, I can see. Hallelujah. Next one, see. Ah, I can see. Next one, see. Nothing happened. No. You kept on obeying. It's obedience. It is better than any sacrifice, obedience to the instruction. As you draw near to God, as I draw near to God, God begins to walk us through the experience. And miracles happen. Amen? Hallelujah? 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 John 17, I am definitely not going to be done tonight, therefore I'll continue. Tomorrow night is going to be a very special gathering for us, and I want you to begin to prepare yourself for that gathering. Everyone listening to me right this very moment, if you're at home, you should find your way here tomorrow. If you're at work and you are not able to leave your work, that's understood, but get engaged. Where your heart is going to be very determining for the kind of things that are going to happen for each one of us. Praise the Lord. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Say with me, I receive the glory. Right now, into my life, I will walk and live in the glory. Amen. It says that they may be one even as we are one. Now, what is this glory? It's the glory of unity. So what does the enemy like to do? Create disunity. And when he creates disunity, the glory is diminished. So you and I must do everything that we can do to make certain that disunity is not present in our lives. I talked with a very dear sister today, and she spouted so many wise statements. Person I'm talking about is Sister Margaret. And we happened to chat, Mama and I and her, and she said, you know, my cat went and started chewing on grass or whatever, and then threw up all over the place. So when I came down and I saw that, I wanted to get upset about it. But I said, what good is that going to do? It's not going to do no good. So I cleaned up and I sent the cat out. That was the first thing he said. You know, I'm getting to that place where I'm beginning to understand that the things that we make and think is so important, it causes us to be, you know, fighting. He said, it's not important. Why am I wasting the time getting upset about something that I should just wave off? I said, oh, you're speaking a lot of wisdom here. You know, we waste a lot of time griping about stuff that really does not matter. It really doesn't matter. Yeah, it really doesn't matter. And you're going to spend your time grieving and creating disunity and strifing and fighting. You know, I've seen, you know, or heard of churches that split because of the carpet. The wrong carpet. Who about this carpet? I'm getting out of this church. I don't want to be seeing that ugly carpet. Excuse me? Well, when you come to church, you can close your eyes and pray. Close your eyes and don't see the carpet. Hallelujah. Just don't stumble over people when you're getting out. And when you get outside and you know the sun hits you, open your eyes and walk then. My goodness. People just get all disturbed and perturbed and just all twisted about things that really, really don't matter. And when that person finishes and the person dies, then you come and start saying nice things about them. Oh, this person was such a wonderful person. Liar, liar. If fire hits, you know, lightning strikes you, you'll be burnt. Person that you just cursed out, now this is such a nice angel. They are in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You told them they're going to hell before. Come on. This unity is not part of the glory. says we're one. We're in agreement. And I want that same glory of unity to be bestowed upon them. Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And if he's in our midst, we can see him. We can feel him. We can touch him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next verse. I in them. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Perfect in one. Proving that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Oh my. You mean God the Father loves the Lord Jesus Christ just the same like he loves me? Wow. Loves me exactly the same, not less. That is awesome. Amen. He says, Father, you love them just as much as you love me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Be with me where I am. Where is he? In heavenly places, far above principalities, far above powers, far above all the rulers of the darkness of this world, far above all spiritual wickedness. That's where he is. He says, I want them to be with me. That they may behold my glory. And as we behold his glory, we are being changed. Is that what the word of God says? We're being changed into that same glory. For as he is, so are we now in this world. Hey! That we are moving in the same glory, in the same power, in the same awesomeness. That means I don't belittle myself and think of myself like nothing. No, I'm somebody. And that's humility, because I'm agreeing with what God says about me. When I say, oh, poor me, oh, woe me, woe is me, oh, blah, 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 blue, blue, blah, blah. You are acting arrogantly. For he that the Son has set free, the truth has set free, is free indeed. So what am I supposed to do? Agree that I'm free. We've seen the Lord Jesus Christ speaking the language of faith so many times in John 17. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. For thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, wow. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. So now we see the other manifestation of what glory is. First manifestation of glory is unity. Second manifestation of glory is that we are loved. I'm loved. And if God loves me, I could care less about other people not loving me. Amen? Because what God says is the best. Do you know what he said? He said, I am no longer in the world. And this is John 17. He said, I'm no longer in the world. He says, I have finished what you called me to do. When he was saying it, he was still in the world. And when he was saying it, he had not gone to the cross. But he said, done. I take this, finished. 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 Guess what we need to do? I'm anointed. Praise God. I'm bringing healing to the world. Praise God. I have the glory of God in my life. Praise God. Even though you may not be there yet, but you agreeing with what God said, you are it. Amen? Hallelujah. I am agreeing with God that I am blessed and highly favored. Wealth and riches are in my house. I am moving under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing destroys the yoke of the enemy. Amen? I am anointed to bring healing to my generation. Hallelujah. To bring the saving word of God to my generation. Praise the Lord. I am raised up as a son of the Most High God, manifesting the glory of God in every realm. Wherever I am, God is, because I am a God carrier. Praise God. If he says, I and the Father are going to come and make our abode in you, you're a God carrier. Rise with me. We'll stop there tonight. Say with me, the glory of God is upon my life. I am forever transformed. My mind is renewed. I am empowered to succeed. My portion is to experience the increase of God in every area of my life. I am a son of covenant. And I have a covenant to be a blessing in my generation and in my children's generation. They will have that same covenant. The covenant that declares that the living God, the Almighty God, is my God, my Father, my Redeemer, my source, and my resource. I am blessed in my going out. I'm blessed in my coming in. I thank you, Father. I have come into my inheritance. I am an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, my Lord, a partner with God. I am in koinonia, fellowship, partnership with the Most High God. God is in me, and I am in God. And I declare this day that Jesus is Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and all men come to him. In this day of your power, the people will be willing. Every knee must bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus, Yeshua, is Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. God is good. Amen. The word of the Lord has come forth, and we walk and live in divine health. To God be the glory. You live long and prosper and flourish in every aspect of your life, and your life will be a testimony of the glory and the goodness of the Most High God. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Say with me, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power of his might is in his word. I have the word of God in me, and the word of God is coming forth out of my mouth. It is the word of God that I am hearing right now. It is the word of faith. Therefore, what I say is accomplished to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we are going to share once again the traditional 8-ray of the Jewish saints. When they come to Rosh Hashanah, they always share together apple, honey, pomegranates, whatever, you know, and they share that together, the fellowship together. And as we eat of this today, let God's sweetness abound in every area of our lives. Amen? During Rosh Hashanah, this is that time that you give a very special offering to the Lord, whatever that offering is. It's not a time that you try to tip God, because this is your first fruit. Amen? Hallelujah. It's your first fruit. So bring your best to the Lord. And as you release it, if you don't have it tonight, make sure that tomorrow when you come, you bring a special offering unto the Lord. Amen? This is a time that we need to engage God and express our love in our giving towards them, an expression of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. So do come and release your offering, and also do take your fruit and your honey. If you're at home, do the same. You have something sweet, because we want you to experience Tikatevu in this new year. The sweetness of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your year will be a blessed year. Hallelujah. You will know the sweetness of God in every aspect of your life. God is a God who raises you up by His Spirit to fulfill purpose and destiny. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, I'm sure everybody got saved. If you did not have your elements for communion, please raise your hand so that you are saved that also. Anybody needs the elements of communion? Everybody has it? Okay, that's good. That's good. There are no raised hands here, so I suppose everybody got it. All right. Well, rise with me. Mama, if you may, you may join me at this time. We are sanctified, separated unto the Lord. If you missed anything that's been said today, or yesterday, don't miss this one important statement. God said, do not be unequally yoked. We are not going to be unequally yoked. Amen? Hallelujah. So we are going to experience all that God has for us. God is connecting with us, and we are connecting with God. They say the weakest point of a link, of a chain, is the weak link is what causes a chain to break apart. But there's no weak link, because we have this Spirit of God in us. And it's that Spirit of God and the Spirit of His unity, His glory, that's connecting us. So as we take of this today, let us declare that all that God is manifested in our lives. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Take and eat. Praise the Lord. It would have been easy to just have just one slice. But we had three. And I think it is very prophetic in declaration. So I wondered about it last night when we had three pieces. It's easy to say Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but that's not it. It's God speaking sweetness into our past, sweetness into our present, and sweetness into our future. That all of the bad things that have happened in the past, God, by His grace, is causing redemption and turning all things around. Amen. Everything to work together for our good. Amen. That the past will not haunt our present. Amen. Or our future. Amen. But that the blessings of God will pursue after us. Yes. Catch up with us and overtake us. Amen. so that now all you are walking in is in the blessing that has overtaken you. Amen. Hallelujah. The pathway is open. Do you receive that?
Yes.
The glory of God is making a way for us. Hallelujah. 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 When David was sacrificing the animals as he brought the ark in, every six steps they slew the bullock. And then they take their steps. But every step they took was based on stepping on that blood. And the blood was ahead of them, and there again, until they brought the ark in. So shall the Lord do for you and I. He is taking over everything ahead of us. Everything ahead of us. He's already dealt with our past. He's dealing with our present situation, and he's going ahead of us, and he's shining brightly ahead of us, so that we will not stumble, we will not falter, we will not fail, we will not slip, we will walk and we will run and we will take flight in the mighty name of the Most High God.
Amen,
amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Puddle of blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. You know, when blood is shed, it doesn't stay in one place, it flows.
Mm.
And it depends on how that ground is. So we are on holy ground, so it's flowing everywhere. So
Amen.
Say, I'm standing in the puddle of the blood of Jesus.
I'm standing in the puddle of the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Sanctified, made holy.
You know, when little children see puddles, they just go in and they what?
They jump in.
They jump. You don't teach them how to do that. Why? The blood. Hallelujah.
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 So see yourself in that all the time, not sometimes.
Glory be to God.
Say amen.
Amen.
So when you are awake, when you are asleep, when you anywhere you are, traveling, moving, even right now, I'm in the blood. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You must remember that life is in the blood. So his life, he's the way, truth, and life. That life is in the blood. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
And you got some inside you.
Amen.
Oneness with him.
Hey, glory
to God. Oneness with him. Hallelujah.
Yes, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So under that oneness, we have received that glory of oneness with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and one as the body of Christ. Take of his body tonight.
Amen.
Be healed.
Yes.
Be restored.
Amen.
Be made whole.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Total restoration.
Hallelujah.
Past, present, and future.
Yes, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat.
The blood is shed for the remission of sins. Word of God says to us that as far as the east is from the west, so he takes our sins far away from us. If you go east, you will always go east, you will never go west. If you go west, you will always be going west and not east. But when you go north, after a while, you're going south. So when God talks about your sin being removed from you, he's saying you'll never catch up with your sin.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your sin will never catch up with you.
Amen.
Because he's taking it far away from you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let forgiveness reign.
Amen.
Let mercy reign.
Amen.
Let grace flourish.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
We humble ourselves before you, O
yes.
God, and we agree with your divine purpose.
Yes.
And we are a people of purpose, a people of destiny,
yes.
chosen, elected, the elect of the Most High,
Amen.
Sons of the Most High God, manifested in this last of the last days, so that the name of our God will be made known in all the earth, and that the world will know that Jesus came for the salvation of mankind. We declare this day that the glory of unity is present in our lives, and the glory of the love of God is present in our lives. We drink this wine, and we declare we are made every with whole. As the disciples and the people at the wedding of Cana saw water turned into wine, and they wondered, where did this wonderful wine come from? Lord, oh God, so Lord, you are turning everything around in our lives, for we drink the wine of your Spirit that causes people to wonder, how did this ever happen? And we'll say, the Lord is God,
yes.
and he reigns supreme forever. Amen. Take off this cup, be made every whit whole. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you to be here tomorrow night. We planned just for the 6th and the 7th, but the Lord kept on saying, one more. This is the top, to top it, the crown of the year. And God has a word for us, and there's something he wants to do for us. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to encourage everyone there. If you are not in this nation, not in this province, not in this city, get ready for what God is going to do in your life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I encourage you to have some oil with you, because there's going to be something we're going to do with the oil. Just make sure you have some oil with you also. Amen. And have a wonderful evening. Enjoy a restful night. And be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Love you guys. Amen. Is there anyone on Zoom?